Here we go. It's something just for the patrons, ladies and gentlemen. It's a Dave and Darren patron-only show. Where's my patron music? Ah, that's calming. Ah, that's soothing.
The first patron show.
Yeah. Well, now it's over with.
Of the year 2022.
Yeah, here we are. It's 2022. And,
weird.
I know, right?
What a long, strange trip.
It really has been. I looked at a quarter that had the year 2022 on it, and it just...
Oh, yeah.
Like, it sunk in like, oh, yeah, I guess that's happening.
I guess I haven't seen that.
Yeah, no, they're out there.
I haven't seen the money.
They're out there. It's a brave new world.
I don't get my hands on a lot of money.
Well, you don't get, not a lot of coinage, huh?
No. Or the paper kind.
I was listening to satellite radio as I was driving around. And David Lee Roth, I Ain't Got Nobody, came on.
Yeah.
Just a Gigolo, I guess it's
called.
Yeah,
Just a Gigolo.
I did that thing I hate when people do when you call the song by the wrong name. Can you play Teenage Wasteland by The Who? Just a Gigolo came on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've heard that song hundreds of times since it came out in, what, 85?
Something like that.
It dawned on me as I was listening to it in the car, what an absolute nutso thing to do. You leave Van Halen, and the first thing you do is, I'm going to do a Louis Prima cover.
That's right.
With a bunch of synthesizers.
Well, it was that, and...
They falls up with a Beach Boys
and
cover.
And California Girls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you... What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then he put out some other stuff that, you know, sounded a little bit more... I mean, eventually he got a memo that said...
Ladies and gentlemen, Skyscraper.
I spent some time with that record as a kid. I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It's just...
What did Ryan DeBock think of the David Lee Roth solo stuff?
Oh, I don't know that I...
I can't imagine.
I don't remember him having an opinion on that. No.
Well, he's no fan of 1984.
Right. When 84 came out, Ryan was an older kid on my block, and when 84 came out, he threw it in the garbage. As soon as the synthesizer started, he's like, nope, we're not listening to this.
I don't care what else is... Whatever else is on this.
Right? Well, because Jump had already come out as a single.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was like, we're going to listen to this. I'm going to give this a chance. But so help me, the synthesizers better only be on Jump. And that record starts with an instrumental called 1984 that's very heavy synthesizer. And she's like, nope, that's the end of this band for me.
Whip it.
But just to be like, okay, I'm going to step away from the Van Halen brothers. I'm walking away from Michael Anthony. I'm going to do my own thing. And by my own thing, I mean... A Louis Prima who was big in the 40s,
yeah.
Right?
Mm.
I mean, that's just crazy.
Eddie Van Halen's birthday yesterday, I think.
I think that's right, yeah. It was this week. It might have been on Wednesday. I saw that this is his first birthday that he's not around for, right?
I guess so.
They say happy birthday in heaven, and I don't know that I care for that. Like, when I'm gone, don't wish me a happy heavenly birthday. Because... That's none of my business if I'm dead. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't quite understand that. There's two things I don't get when people die. Like, first off, there's this rush to make heaven a better version of the everyday existence they had, right?
You mean like a bar?
Right. Right. Like, when you and I both go, and I'm assuming you'll go first, and then when I go, they'll go, well, he's with Darren now, doing the best show in heaven. No! Are you out of your mind?
Not a chance.
No! That's the last thing I want to do. Like when John Madden died, someone instantly, and it might have even been Vince Scully, was like, well, he's up there calling the greatest football game ever with Pat Summerall. That was what they did for work. Right?
Yeah.
Like if a checkout boy gets hit by a car,
right.
People don't say, you know, he's up there sorting cans in heaven.
He's bagging the best food known to God.
Right? He's at an Angels grocery store right now, doing what he loves. And then the idea
he's up there bagging angel food cake.
Right? Everything. It's all they eat. It's all they eat.
God, I'm just so sick of it. And when I say God, I mean God.
You, right there, you. This was not one of your better creations, this angel food cake. And then
although if you drizzle it with chocolate.
And then the idea of a heavenly birthday. Like, do people come over and celebrate your birthday if you're in heaven and dead? I would think that whatever awaits us beyond this existence.
I would tend to think there's no use for a calendar. It's
right.
Like, you know how they don't have clocks in casinos?
Exactly.
There's no clock in heaven.
There better not be. Like, do you have to go to bed? Do you?
I guess if you want to.
Well, I mean, but then what's the. I don't get any of it. I don't get the heavenly birthday, and I don't get the idea of doing what they were doing on Earth is something that they have to now do for eternity. It was a vocation. It was a way to pay the bills. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want to be doing it forever and ever. And this makes me a bad person. When Meatloaf died, You know what my first thought was? Good. I don't share a birthday with him anymore. I don't have to hear his name on my birthday. I was not a fan of Meatloaf. Sorry to say it. Don't care for any of his music. Don't care for him as a person.
Whatever you do, don't take his paint supplies.
Meat, what are you so upset about? Meat?
You don't want to mess with me.
Heavenly birthday. The very idea.
I made Meatloaf. I did.
To honor Meatloaf?
No, I just wanted Meatloaf.
Was it all the talk of Meatloaf that kind of put an idea in your head?
Kind of a reminder. You know what? I make a pretty mean Meatloaf.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Was it like a suggestion that was placed in your head that Meatloaf might be something you want to fire up?
I'll do anything for dinner, but I won't do that.
Slovakia has approved a flying car that they say will be a significant step forward in the years-long process of converting automobiles into aircraft. This is the worst idea ever.
Mm-hmm. Because I've seen you drive on using pavement.
Right.
And you're not the best at it.
Right.
And now you're going to launch yourself 10 feet in the air?
At any minute, there's an idiot above you with a couple tons of metal that he doesn't know how to operate right above your head, no matter where you're at.
We got air rage now.
No, thanks. The air car is a small car that can transform into a plane. It was granted an official certificate of airworthiness by the Slovak Transport Authority. And by the way, if I ever learn to play a guitar, I'm going to be in a band called the Slovak Transport Authority.
Or trombone.
Yes! Play a mean guitar! This thing has done over 200 test flights. That's all it takes to be considered airworthy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Multiple takeoffs and landings, complete and compatible with European Aviation Safety Agency standards. After 70 hours of rigorous test flights, this thing is now certified to fly.
And this is what you can set your 16-year-old up in, huh? You sure about that?
The air car can be fueled up at any gas station. It doesn't need, like, you know,
special
airplane gas. It just needs gas.
Rocket fuel.
Mm-hmm. It can travel at a maximum altitude of 1,800 feet.
Oh, I don't know about that.
That's like, what, a mile and a half up there?
That's a plane.
This thing transforms from a car to a plane and flies all around. And they say that now that it's gotten this airworthiness over in Europe, it's just a matter of time before the Federal Aviation Administration over here takes a look at this thing.
Do you think that's something that you would ever consider doing or have a desire to do in your later life?
Do what?
Learn how to fly?
No. Hell no. No, I understand people wanting to do that, but no. If I had the time and the money to get a small plane,
uh-huh.
Here's something I can tell you with geometric certainty.
You'd spend it on something else?
I absolutely would. But like, if I could buy a plane, mm-hmm. I wouldn't. But if I did, I'd be dead in 3 months. You know it? And for what?
Because you crashed?
Yes, I would crash. Something would go wrong, and I would crash. And then, and on the way down, all I could be thinking is this. Why did I have to buy a goddamn plane? This was a stupid idea. Those are my last thoughts.
You think you'd do like the pool landing?
Landed in somebody's pool?
It's like,
Well, we were talking today on our morning show about this, and it was a story I'd never heard before. It's the 50-year anniversary, 72, this stewardess, and it was a Yugoslavian airplane.
Bomb goes off.
Some bomb went off from terrorist bomb, blew, and she was the only one to survive. It was 33,000 feet in the air.
She was in a drink cart.
She was six.
That ended up in the tail of the plane.
Yeah. She was, what, 6 miles in the air? Is that what they said? More than 6 miles in the air and landed in some trees without a parachute. Yeah, I just don't think this is a good idea. But they think, the people who have this air car, they think this thing will be legal to fly sometime this year in the United States of America. Again, put me on the record as saying this is maybe the worst idea of all time. There's a fire chief who's in some trouble. Fire chief in New Bedford, Massachusetts. He told them that he was injured and he couldn't work, and then he got a disability.
Mm-hmm.
In fact,
injured on the job?
Yeah, it was a work-related injury. Paul Cotteray Jr., fire chief for New Bedford, Massachusetts, claimed work-related injuries resulted in him receiving $208,000 in paid injury leave. Also, I guess when you're on leave as a firefighter, that exempts you from state and federal income tax.
Really?
For 16 months.
Oh, 16 months.
Mm-hmm, beginning in August of 2020. So you're injured, you don't have to pay federal or state income taxes. And if you are someone who is injured in the line of duty, mm-hmm. then I think that's absolutely appropriate. The problem is, this guy was putting on a little act, and they were following him around.
Now, see, that sounds like the sort of job I think that you would like.
Following around people that are committing fraud?
Yes.
I would love that job. I would love that job.
Because your thought process would be this. If I've been assigned mm-hmm. because they think that you're committing fraud,
yeah,
you're committing fraud.
Let me tell you this. I'm not an acting fire chief, but this is my motto. Where there's smoke,
yeah.
there's fire.
Yeah.
Trust your gut.
Yeah.
If you think somebody's up to something.
They are.
I mean, 99% of the time.
Well, if they think, we're pretty sure he's committing fraud.
Right? They ended up.
Find something.
This guy had an annual salary of $150,000, and then he was getting all this money in disability.
On top of it.
Yeah. They caught him. He was at like a Home Depot lifting a 176-pound smoker grill into his pickup truck. I can't use my arms.
Now, why would you do that?
That's the thing.
I mean, don't they typically, if you buy a grill from somebody, mm-hmm. won't they deliver it to you?
I guess you want to save a couple bucks. He helped load the 176-pound smoker grill into his truck. Right? So maybe he had some help there at the store, but then when he got it home, he had no problem taking it out of the truck all by himself.
And here I am across the street
uh-huh.
with my, mm-hmm. I got a juice box and a yeah. sandwich.
And that's it.
And well, binoculars.
It's a stakeout, and I'm eating steakums. What do you think of that?
Tell your neighbor. Oh, wait a minute. don't tell your neighbor.
No, not until I have
Don't tell your neighbor. This is a stakeout.
Don't tell him. Tell the neighbors.
Until I make the arrest.
Tell the neighbors I'm having steak tonight, but not until I get the evidence
yeah,
I need
right.
to make sure this guy isn't getting paid anymore.
I guess I'm not really going to be the one. And you're not the one even making the arrest of any.
No. Well, there's no arrest.
Well,
it's just
yeah.
his request for disability retirement was denied, and now
but
he's,
I mean, you don't
he's
even
been
have
fired.
You don't even have to even confront the person.
No.
You just collect the evidence.
That's all I do. I walk into, you're the guy with the suspicion, right? Like, let's say you got a suspicion your wife's two-timing you,
uh-huh.
right? And I'm the guy in the bushes recording it. And then I just walk in and I go, hey, flop the tape or whatever, the thumb drive down on the desk. We got him. I imagine that's supremely satisfying. This guy kept saying, no, I'm hurt. And then they showed him the tape of him moving the 176-pound smoker around.
Well, I was having a good day that day.
You know, I have my good days and my bad days. What you needed to do is just never leave your house. Have somebody go get the smoker.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Anytime you leave, if you're in your backyard, act all hobbled and whatnot. You don't, you know, either commit to it or don't. It wasn't all the way committed. Probably, though, assumed that they would never in a million years, you know, suspect him.
Wear underwear that are ill-fitted and that makes you walk strange.
That's not bad.
The yank.
That's not bad.
Utilize the yank.
The Adam and Eve yank I'm using is way to commit to the limp that I need.
That way, I don't even have to think about it.
No, it's not an act if you're actually hobbled over. If you believe it because you actually are in pain with each step you take.
Yeah.
Delicious, sweet pain.
Courtesy of the good people.
Oh, thank you, Adam and Eve.
I think I will take the free gift. I'll check the box. Yes, please send the free gift.
Ooh,
let's see what this is going to end up
being. Sex dice. Oh, well, this is going to work out great for everyone.
Ooh, Spanish fly.
I don't know that I can use, I mean, you're going to be able to use it after walking around in this contraption all day long.
The Spanish fly made me deathly ill for a week, which really played into my hole.
Right. You're just sitting there sweating uncontrollably.
We thought he was committing fraud, but the week that we followed him, mm-hmm. he looked pretty impaired.
It's very rare as a fraud investigator I say this, but I feel terrible for the man.
Yeah.
He's in worse shape than he's even letting on. We should pay him more money. Look at how he's walking. Look at that grimace with each step.
You know how they say dance like no one's watching?
Right. Exactly.
This guy's limping around and half blind.
I tell you what.
And throwing up in the bushes. And he doesn't know anyone's watching him.
In my experience as a private investigator, this man either injured himself so severely in a line of duty or... he's wearing an Adam and Eve yank.
And I think he's consumed some Spanish fly.
It's possible he's eaten some off-brand Spanish fly.
That's my professional
It's all
assessment.
It's all in my report. You can read it in my report. Put together a pretty nice dossier on this character.
Yeah, and there's footnotes when I mention the yank.
I go into some pretty graphic detail. I think you'll find
it's in the
the footnotes.
The footnotes.
Former banking CEO says he spent $280,000 at strip clubs, and it was all a business expense. Hmm. This guy's on trial for fraud. And he's saying the $280,000 he spent making it rain at strip clubs were business expenses. Piernan Vincez, who used to lead a firm in Switzerland, also claimed in a Swiss court that he spent $760 on dinner with a woman he met on Tinder because he was thinking about hiring her for a real estate job. Vincez and a stripper... or also charged $4,500 by a hotel because of damage that was done in the hotel room after a massive fight he had with the stripper.
How old a guy is this guy?
He's an older gentleman.
Now, wouldn't you think?
That's a dude in his 60s, right?
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Peter Sellers.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you think that if for some reason you had some sort of itch that needed to be scratched,
mm-hmm.
where you needed to go to a strip club.
Yeah, sure.
And you're at that age.
Yeah.
After you go, wouldn't you think, I'm good for quite some time. This is probably...
I don't need to go back.
That was that was more than enough.
I don't know that...
I don't feel these...
It's kind of like
girls
how
that
I
could
feel.
Be my great grandchildren.
Kind of like how I feel whenever I go to a buffet.
Uh huh.
And it's like, I haven't been to a buffet in a long time. And then I go, and like, as soon as I get there, it's like, this is why I don't do this.
I'm good for a decade. But no, he didn't go just the one time. $280,000.
He's one of seven top bankers that are on trial right now in Zurich for alleged enrichment, fraud, and mismanagement. This guy also used his position, they think, to make some secret side deals. But yeah, this is spending the $280,000 and saying, "Well, no, that was all the business expenses is something else." Lady Gaga is claiming that she stayed in character for A Star Is Born for years.
Oh,
she did that movie, and then she just thought she was the Star Is Born person.
So does that mean she's still in character?
Because she only dropped it to do the new movie House of Gucci.
Gucci.
Yeah, so is she walking around pretending that she's Gucci? She admitted during Variety's Actors on Actors roundtable that she will stay in character for months, even years at a time. Quote, "I would actually say playing a character for me is like living one long song. One long song that lasts for months. For A Star Is Born, it was years for me." She was more than happy to get rid of the House of Gucci persona. That she says, "I dropped her faster because she was a killer, and there were some things about the transformation for me psychologically that were super challenging." Okay. But she just walked around like she thought she was in A Star Is Born.
I got a suggestion
the whole
for
time.
You, Lady Gaga.
Yeah?
The next time you take on a role, just memorize the lines, okay? Let's not...
Well, that's...
There's no reason to think that you're actually that person.
Right.
Memorize the lines,
uh-huh.
And when it's your turn to say them, say them.
There's that great story in the movie Marathon Man, where Dustin Hoffman is like getting tortured.
Yeah.
So to have that look in the right mindset, he stayed up for 36 hours before they filmed the shots where he's getting tortured by
Laurence Olivier.
Laurence Olivier, right. And Dustin Hoffman's explaining, like, "Yeah, I stayed up for like 36 hours so I can really look, you know, look the real, yeah. Be tired for this scene." And Laurence Olivier says to Dustin Hoffman, "Why don't you try acting? It's it's so much easier. It would be so much easier for you to act tired,
yes,
as opposed
to do that.
To right." I'm like, do you think Laurence Olivier's gonna be impressed with your little trick, Dustin Hoffman? Like, this is what I did. This is what I do, Larry. Tell you what I do when I want to look tired. I stay up for 36 hours.
He knows a little something about acting.
I'll just throw that
okay,
out there.
Okay, Heathcliff.
We have the pig to human heart transplant that's been in the news.
The guy, yeah.
It was in the news because the guy got the heart transplant. It's a heart that was grown in a pig, and they put it in this guy. And for a while, it was a feel-good story until it was revealed that he might not be exactly Mother Teresa.
Yeah, he might have been stabbing some people.
He stabbed a dude to the point where he was paralyzed. And, you know, they kind of explain, well, it's an experimental procedure, and we're not really in the business of, you know, rewarding hearts to good people. It's about saving lives. We now have more information about this pig to human transplant, and what the secret ingredient is, Darren, that made the transplant work. Because that guy's still alive, right?
Mrs. Dash.
No, it's cocaine.
Oh.
Cocaine is the secret ingredient. This groundbreaking surgery took place right at the beginning of the year at the University of Maryland Medical Center. And it's a living heart that was transplanted from a pig to a human. The recipient is a 57-year-old man who is currently still in recovery. There is an acute organ shortage crisis in the United States, so the transplant opened up all kinds of possibilities for thousands of people that are on organ transplant lists. And the guy who has the heart was, you know, his attitude was, because they were saying it may not work. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, then you'll learn something.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm going to go one way or another, right? But yeah, they're saying that the secret ingredient in this xenotransplantation, that is to say, taking an organ from one species and putting it in another, was cocaine.
For like the surgical team?
They say that...
Because it takes a while.
Yeah. Yeah. And they said that they had to put cocaine in this like brew that they used to get the heart started. There's 10 different hormones, cortisol and adrenaline. You know, you got to start the heart, and there's like this cocktail that they use to extend the viability of the heart during transplant. And what they used was coke.
Not unlike Motley Crue.
They kickstarted his heart, exactly. scientific reasons behind the efficacy of the cocaine and hormone solution in preserving and treating harvested hearts is unknown. But it could be that, because this is another new development, it could be that they're able to do a lot more good with a lot more hearts because of this cocaine mixture.
Sure.
They mixed up for the pig heart. They say when we don't use, this doctor says, when we're not using this solution, the solution has the cocaine in it, we're getting failures within 48 hours. But once you started using this and infusing the heart with the solution, the heart became well preserved and started beating very well.
On its own.
It doesn't even need us. It's in another room right now.
It's self-aware.
It's talking to somebody. Won't shut
it's
up.
It's having a party.
So, yeah.
It's in a bathroom somewhere convincing somebody to give him more cocaine.
That pump was a little bit bigger than I thought it was going to be. I need to sit down for a minute here and figure some stuff out. We're getting a Godzilla TV show.
And where will I find
this? The Godzilla Monsterverse TV show will be on Apple TV Plus, if you're so inclined. There are all these monster movies, these Godzilla movies that take place in the Monsterverse. You had Godzilla, and then Kong, Skull Island, and then Godzilla, King of the Monsters, and most recently there was Kong versus Godzilla. This will be a TV show set in that universe. We don't have a name for the show, but The Hollywood Reporter says that the TV show will take place after the thunderous battle between Godzilla and the Titans that leveled San Francisco. I think I saw that movie and I don't remember that happening.
And Godzuki.
Right. The Godzilla movie will be created by Chris Black, who's worked on shows like Star Trek Enterprise and Outcast. And also by Matt Fraction, best known for writing a lot of the Hawkeye comic books. His work was influential on the Disney Plus show for Hawkeye. So that could be cool. Godzilla the TV show. No clue when it'll premiere. I would guess probably next year at the earliest, but that's something that they're working on.
Uh-huh.
Somebody converted all of the one of the Lord of the Rings movies. The first one, The Fellowship of the Ring.
Yeah.
A guitarist has turned the movie into a three-hour metal song. It's 3 hours long. Bradley Hall has released an epic three-hour metal rendition of the score of The Fellowship of the Rings.
Now, what platform is this on?
It's on YouTube right now. And to avoid having the video taken down for rights issues, he blurs the film out in the background behind him as he shreds and strums away through the entire thing. And he's like dressed up like Gandalf too when he does it for some reason.
But he's watching the movie,
mm-hmm. and he's just doing the entire score as a heavy metal guitarist. So like all the music that would play during the movie,
uh-huh.
he's constantly just doing it.
Okay, so this is not original music.
No, and he does things where he like does like different speed metal songwriting, and then he kind of kicks things up with this Lord of the Rings. He says, Howard Shore's music from the legendary Lord of the Rings movie trilogy captivated me ever since I first heard it way back in 2001. It was so epic, majestic, mystical, and pretty damn metal. It was my hope. It was my hope that someday someone would make a full metal version of the films.
And how about me?
But alas, that day never came. So as a culmination of months of pandemic-induced boredom, frustration, and madness, I plucked up the courage to finally do it myself. Presenting the Fellowship of the Ring as one giant metal song. You can check that out if you want on YouTube, I guess.
He was driven by madness.
He says a mixture of boredom and madness is what compelled him to get out the axe and just, shred. Just out there shredding. Fake poop helps evict owls and tricks them into moving into a new neighborhood. What's your take on owls? They're pretty boss as birds. I mean, aren't they?
Yeah. I don't know that I would turn my back on one.
There was one that lived in our old neighborhood in Davenport. And it was always cool to see when we would go on walks around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But also a little unsettling.
Yeah.
Like, if that thing wanted to.
Yeah.
It could put its talons right in the back of my head.
You've seen an owl's legs before, right?
Sure.
They're crazy long.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nuts. Scientists.
It's unsettling when you see their dancers' legs.
The owl's grassland homes sometimes are prime real estate, so they've been losing ground to development in areas of Southern California, like Silicon Valley. Biologists tried moving the owls, but then the owls keep moving back. The challenge is when you take an owl from one place and put him to another, they don't accept their new homes. So, how do you do that? How do you convince the owls that that's where they belong? Uh-huh. Well, in a pilot program, scientists took pains to create the impression that owls already lived there, so they should stick around, and it worked. They wanted the neighborhood to look like owls had already been there, so they made, like, fake owl poop.
Uh-huh.
They also played recordings of owl calls before and after the new arrivals were released.
Well, you've tried that.
And they used a syringe to squirt around fake owl poop, which is really just white paint, but the owls think that it's their poop.
You would think that an owl would be better about that. It would be able to smell. Wait a minute. How are they getting fooled by just white paint?
You're right. Here's the thing. You can tell an owl is smart if he's got the little professor hat on. If they don't have that little cap on, it's just a regular owl.
Yeah,
and they're no smarter than us.
If they haven't come straight from a commencement, then what are they really up to?
Did professors ever wear that thing? Like in the cartoons, the professors always wear those things. Like in class and like when they're out in the streets. But you really only see those for graduation.
Yeah,
is that something professors used to have to wear? So you'd know that they were a professor?
Mm-hmm. Now they just wear jeans.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know. It seems like you had a pretty good look and you threw it away. And for what? That's going to do it for this patron-only show
Dave
and Darren's Top 5 Things. Yes, for sure. Thanks for your support. These many years. Here we are in 2012 when we...
2022.
What did I say?
2012.
That's what it feels like to me. That's going to do it for this patrons-only show. Hope to have a lot more patron-exclusive content just for you, for our small way of saying thanks for sticking by us and supporting us. Until we get a chance to do this for you again, this is the part where I say, hang loose, kooks.
And I say, you're welcome.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock on, come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Hi, this is Art Linkletter. Thanks for listening.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.